But I want to say good morning and welcome to the Emmanuel Baptist Church. It's good to be here. It's good for me to be here. And I want to start off by saying right up front, Happy Father's Day. And I want to invite you, if you will, open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6 is where we'll spend our time together this morning. You know, when you have a guest speaker, things are a little bit different. Things don't go exactly the way you're used to seeing them to go. But the thing that never changes is we're here to connect with the Holy God. So I hope you came here this morning to connect with God in a unique way. I know God is willing to meet each one of us on our spiritual journeys, wherever that might be. So this morning, I just ask that you would just open your hearts to the movement of the Holy Spirit. It's a privilege for me to be here. As I said, I've never shared a message back to back on a Sunday morning like this, so this will be a little different for me as well. But I want to talk to you this morning on a topic that's very important to all of us. A Father's Guide to Fathering from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. And you know, I'm not sure exactly what Bruce has got going on this morning. I know he's worshiping somewhere, but I can guarantee you he's praying for us. And isn't that comforting? I know he is. I know his heart. And I also want you to know this is a win-win for Bruce. Because if you like my message this morning, you'll be glad he invited me. And if you don't, you'll be glad when he gets back. But we want to celebrate Father's Day, and we want fathers to love Jesus. And that's our focus. What we'll see in this passage of Holy Writ this morning is a father's guide to fathering. So that's what I've titled this message. And it's much easier for me to speak about motherhood than it is fatherhood. Because when I speak about biblical fatherhood, I become very convicted on this subject. And you know, we don't get to pick our fathers. I loved what Jeff said a while ago before he sang that song about his feelings towards his dad. And we don't get to pick our fathers, but if I could have somehow picked from all the fathers of creation, if somehow the Lord could have lined up all the millions upon millions of fathers, and throughout the generations, he said, Brad, there they all are, pick the one you want. I would have said, okay, I want him right there, Carl Walker. That's who I want to be my dad. And the height and the depth of this is the fact that we can look back someday that we can see where our fathers have impacted us for Christ. We can see where they've been a godly example in the home, where they've given us strength and they've given us encouragement and courage to go through life. And that someday we'll be blessed with children and maybe grandchildren who 50 or 60 years from now, whatever the case may be, would stand up and say, you know what? I walk close to Jesus today because there was a godly man in my home. Because my dad helped me on my journey. And that's really the heart of what we're going to look at today in our time together this morning. That I walk close to Jesus because of my father and not in spite of him is really what it boils down to. And the background of this passage of Holy Writ is that Moses is 120 years old. He's near the end of his life. Matter of fact, the book of Deuteronomy takes place in the last few weeks of his life. These are his final words, his final speeches. And Moses is speaking to a new generation of people. When we come to Deuteronomy chapter 6, none of these people were alive when the Hebrews left Egypt except for Joshua and Caleb. They were all born and raised in the wilderness. They were all under the age of 40. Now all their parents have died in the wilderness because of their disobedience towards God. But now this next generation, this second generation, needs to hear the law. It's not a new law, but it's a recap. It's a recap of the law, so that they will remember God's providential will for their lives. Not so much their personal will, but their providential will for their lives. They need to hear so they can live in obedience to God. If you don't hear, how are you going to know? And every generation needs to hear the story or the testimony of God's grace, His sovereignty, and His commands, His expectations. Because every Christian has an Exodus and every Christian has a Deuteronomy as a reminder. Meaning as believers, we need to be reminded of our deliverance from bondage. And we have that Exodus, but we frequently need to be reminded of Deuteronomy, and that is something that reminds us from where we've come from. That's why I think testimonies are so powerful. I think it's important that we share where we've been through and how God has made a difference in our lives and how he gives us hope and encouragement. Because when we do that, we find out we all really need that. We're not on some island living alone. But anyway, this morning, this time together, we will see a father's guide to fathering, how it impacts the home. Let's pray about that before we go any farther. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, this morning I ask that you would just be real in our lives, that you would keep distractions from our minds and our hearts. Father, you would help us to realize how important the family unit is, that it's all your design and all by your plan. And Lord, that we would just make you not only rulers of our heart, but at home in our hearts. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, this morning from this passage of Scripture, I want to share with you three important responsibilities that every Christian father needs to be reminded of in order to sustain harmony in the home. How many of you would like to have harmony in your home? We all would, right? And then I want to focus on some application at the end of this message, the how-to, how I make it real and practical in my life, how I walk out of the church building today and I go home and this is real in my house and in my marriage and with my children. And I'm talking to Christian fathers this morning. So if you're here this morning and you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you're a husband and you're a dad and you want your home to glorify God and you want to see your children grow up loving Jesus, then this message is for you. First thing I want to share with is every father needs to be reminded of the responsibilities of right living. Right living. Let's look in our passage this morning, Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to read the first three verses and we'll stop there. My copy of God's Word is the New King James. Yours might be a little different, but you follow along as I read aloud. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Every father who is a follower of Jesus Christ needs to be reminded of the responsibilities of right living. And the emphasis in these first three verses is on just that. It's on living right. It's on living right for God. It's on living in obedience to God. The Lord is saying, you know, you're here on the east bank of the Jordan River. You've been on this long trek, this long journey for 40 years. You're finally here at the Jordan River. You're getting ready to cross over into the land of Canaan, the promised land, which I give to you. I've delivered your parents from the enslavement of Egyptian bondage, and I've brought you to this land flowing with milk and honey, this land of prosperity, and now this is what you need to do. This is what I expect of you. You are to observe, and you are to be obedient to my ways. You're to know them, my statutes, my judgments, my commandments. And remember, this is a new generation of people. The parents have died, they've passed on because of their doubt in God, so they never got to cross over into this promised land. And God says to them this very important thing in verse 2. God says to fear the Lord your God. The word fear here in this context means to stand in awe of. It means to respect, to honor. And it's spoken in a tense of continuing without ceasing. In other words, it's talking about a lifestyle. The word fear is an important word. It's used different ways. Another use of the word fear is found in Luke chapter 12, verse 5. And it speaks of not, this is Jesus, he was teaching in Luke chapter 12. And he was speaking about not fearing those who can kill the body, but fear him who's able to cast your soul into hell. I believe a healthy fear of the Lord seems to be lost or lacking in most parts of our society today, in many homes today. And dear friend, it all starts at home. It's foundational that fathers have a fear of the Lord attitude, an attitude of respecting God and knowing that God is all powerful and is able to cast the soul into hell. Why? Because God tells us as fathers to live this way as an example to our children and our grandchildren, to the next generation and the generation after that. Every Christian father should mirror in their life what it means to live in fear and obedience to the Lord, that right living. In other words, Christians should grow up in a home and they should see their fathers honoring and respecting God enough that they see their fathers praying and that they know that when it's time to go to church, that they'll be at church. And they see their fathers living a sacrificial life towards their mothers. And that way they'll have an object lesson of what the church and Christ relationship is all about. Because that's really what marriage is. Fathers, we need to understand that we have a powerful influence over our children. Dads who are inside the home, and dads who are outside the home, dads who are distant, dads who are divorced, even dads who are dead, have a powerful influence over children. But today's society watchers view dads as some sort of an option, like OnStar on a new car or GPS on a new car. It's like, you know, that's nice, but it's not really necessary for me to get in the car and go down the road with. I really don't have to have it. But I want you to know that's not how God thinks about the family union. Dads need to be a part of the family unit, an important, crucial part. You see, the architect of society has given this profound picture of the family, and he wants to show us that families have the responsibility of living right before, the fathers have the responsibility of living right before their families, because we set the tone in so many ways, Dad. You and I as fathers, we set the tone for our families. Most of us have heard of Mount Everest, the highest mountain on the earth. But very few of us know the names of the mountains on either side of Mount Everest. My point is simply this. Children need Christian fathers who stand tall. Who stand tall for the Lord. Who stand tall in right living. That they see that example from their father. Men who say, "Thus saith the Lord." Men who live right with God and want to sustain harmony in the home. I say it all starts in the home. Well, the second thing I want to share with you is fathers need to be reminded of the responsibilities of right loving. Not only right living, but right loving. Look with me in verses 4 and 5. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you, today shall be in your heart." Let's stop there. Verses 4 through 9 in the original Hebrew language is called the Shema. Isn't that interesting? And it means in the Hebrew language to hear. So it's like Moses is saying, "Listen up. I got something really important to tell you. Don't check your brains out yet. Don't fade away yet. Don't be thinking about something else yet. This is important. I want you to listen up and hear." And the Shema was a confession of faith for devout Jews. They would recite this scripture two times a day. And in verse 4, the word Lord is Jehovah in their Hebrew language. And it means, "I am the self-existent one." In other words, God always has been, he always will be. You can't point to beginning and you can't point to an end of God. He's the self-existing one. And still in verse 4, the word God is the Hebrew word for Elohim. And it means the all-powerful word. Elohim is a plural word, and it points to the Trinity. And what we need to take away from this is, in the land of Canaan, where they were getting across over into, was occupied with a lot of people who were worshiping many gods. There was a lot of idolatry there. There were many views of eternal life. There was a God for this and a God for that. But our message is to worship the one true God, Jehovah, our Elohim. God, the God of all of our heart and all of our strength and all of our mind. And it means that we love him with every fiber of our being. It means that all of our goals in life are directed toward him and his glory. And in the home, it means, fathers, that we love God in an obvious way before our families. That it is just obvious to them. It becomes real to our children. It's something that they just see and they know dad's going to live in obedience to God. And they know that dad loves what Jesus loves and hates what Jesus hates. And he lives in harmony with that, which is another way of saying in obedience. So our children need to see that we have a real love for God, that there is a right loving. The third thing I want to share with you is fathers need to be reminded of the responsibility of right learning. Look with me, and I'm going to read verse 6 again. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Let's just stop there for a moment. What this is talking about is not taking God's word lightly. His word is holy. It's pure. It's eternal truth. And we should never take it flippantly. And we should never try to make it mean something that just suits the situation that we happen to be in. It means to study God's word rightly and to understand it in its context and in which it was written and then apply that to our lives. It means to memorize his word and to write it on the walls of our heart so that we'll have it when we need it most. I know a lot of times we think, well, I just can't memorize anything. But we all know our phone numbers and our street addresses, right? Or sometimes we think, well, I don't know whether to memorize the King James or the NIV or just memorize one of them. Just write his word on your hearts. If someone woke me up at 2 o'clock in the morning and said, hey, Brad, by the way, don't do this. But someone did wake me up at 2 o'clock in the morning and said, Brad, what do I have to do to have a close relationship with Jesus Christ? I would say, without even having time to think, you'll have a close relationship with Jesus Christ through the eternal truths of his word. Look with me, verses 7 through 9. This is talking about God's word. You shall teach them diligently to your children and talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be on the frontlets before your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. As we take God's word in, we're diligently to teach them to our children. And the scripture is speaking with this persistent effort. Yeah, when this passage of scripture was written, they took it literally and they actually took scripture and they put it in little boxes and with leather straps tied it around their head and onto their hand. But that's not what we need to do. We just need to make sure our children are exposed to the gospel, to the truth of God's word. When the TV's turned on, the radio's turned on, and things are going on, we need to make sure that there's Christian literature in our homes, that they're exposed to the Word of God. It means that Jesus is all over our homes, and he's talked about freely, and it's not weird or uncomfortable to talk about Jesus. It's just a norm. It's the lifestyle that we live in. There was a group of us from the Harrison Baptist Association went to the Missouri Baptist Convention in St. Charles last fall. And we stopped in Hannibal, Missouri to have lunch with Jake Wilson, who's Tim Wilson's oldest son. And they have five kids. I think they have four daughters and a son. And we were in this Chinese restaurant. And Jake says, hey, I want to show you guys something. I want to show you something. And Jake's wife got all five of their little kids, and they are little kids. Got them all out there, and they recited all of Psalm 139. So, yeah, that's what it's all about right there, that we teach God's word in our homes, and our children are familiar with it. It's a big deal. Something very interesting that happened in the life of Jesus as he was growing up, and sometimes we forget Jesus grew up like the rest of us. In Luke chapter 2, verse 52, the scriptures say this, and Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. And I want us to notice the four areas of development that Jesus had. There was wisdom, he developed mentally, stature, that's physically, favor with God, that's spiritually, and favor with men, that's socially. And dear friend, if that's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for our kids, right? We need to make sure that they're developing in those areas, that they're learning in those areas of life. And we need to make sure that we're teaching our children the right things. I want to read to you the lyrics of a very familiar song. It's one of the saddest songs I think I've ever heard, and it's probably being spoken of in churches all across America this morning since it's Father's Day. But in 1974, Harry Chapman wrote this song, Cats in the Cradle. And it just pierces my heart to read these words. Listen as I read aloud. My child arrived just the other day. He came into the world in the usual way. But there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away. And then he was talking before I knew it. And as he grew, he'd say, I'm going to be like you, Dad. You know I'm going to be like you. And then there's the chorus, the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man in the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, not today. I got a lot to do, he said. That's okay. And he walked away, and his smile never dimmed. He said, I'm going to be like him. Yeah, you know I'm going to be like him. Well, he came from college just the other day, so much like a man, I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you. Can we sit for a while? He shook his head, and he said to smile, what I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later. Can I have them, please? I've long since retired. My son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you, son, if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I could just find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle, and the kids have the flu, but it's been sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's really been nice talking to you. As I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. I'm telling you, folks, we don't understand the importance of being with our children and spending time with them, how we can make a difference. In closing, I want to share this with you. At the beginning of this message, I mentioned to you how we don't get to pick our fathers, but if we could have, I would have picked the one that I've gotten. I would have picked Carl Walker. He was a great, great man. I was there when he accepted Christ as a Savior. I got to watch him be baptized. He was saved later in life. But here's some of the character quality that every child wants to be in their father. So if they had that opportunity, all the millions of fathers throughout all the generations were lined up, and God said to you, which father do you want? These are some of the things that would stand out. These are some of the things that were in my father. And I don't have a lot of these, so bear with me. Number one is integrity. Being a husband and a father is a huge responsibility. And it's critical that fathers know the concept of integrity, living before their wives and their children. Honesty is always crucial when leading your family by example, and lies will always lead to emotional and spiritual pain. Number two is wisdom. A person's ability to take life's real-world experiences and pull them through the grid of Scripture and through faith, and this is an act of being a wise human being. When you can do that. When all this junk's going on in your life and you turn to God's word to find meaning for it. Number three is perseverance. A father that's faced all of life's most difficult challenges and still maintains a squared away walk with Jesus. If children see their fathers quit when things go wrong and they cuss a blue streak, we've given them a bogus meaning of what it means to follow Christ. Number four is empathy. Get inside your child's mind and feel what they feel, what the world feels like to them. Don't try to be a dad that's so tough that you can't get down to your child's level and see the world through their eyes and what's going on with them. And by the way, the same thing goes for son-in-laws and daughters-in-laws too. Amen? I love parents who embrace their son and daughter-in-laws like their own because they are. The last one I wanted to share with you, just the quality of this biblical father, is dedication. Be available to help your children, even when you don't understand. Because as our children grow older, I think we understand less and less sometimes. And there begins to be a gap sometimes. I don't understand why my daughter wants to live in downtown Kansas City. But she loves it. So what's important to her is important to me. And there's things that my son loves. And I don't care all that much about those things, but they're important to him, so they're important to me. Just be there for him. And especially, dads, when your feelings are hurt. Because your feelings are going to get hurt, right? If you've been a father for very long, it's going to happen. Be there for him. The point of this whole message is, Dad, you can make all the difference to your family. So we're going to have an invitation. That's what we do in Southern Baptist churches, right? We have invitations. And during this invitation, I just want to ask this. Did God speak to your heart this morning? If he did, what did he say? And what will you do about it? How will you respond? Maybe you need to pray for your family today. Maybe you need to pray for yourself today. Or maybe you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and today is the day that you just want to start that right living. Or maybe you have distant children, adult children. That's hard. And you want to pray for them. Whatever the case may be, this altar will be open this morning that you may come and just spend time with the Heavenly Father. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love that's eternal. We thank you, Father, that we're even able to call you Father. That the family unit is what you're role modeled in front of us as. So, Father, give us wisdom to have harmony in our homes that reflect your glory. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.